welcome to season 2 of WeTel Talks. WeTel is a community for developers and WeTel Talks is our live audio stream. This is a recorded episode from the live stream. We invite inspiring techies from all over the world to meet, host talks and discuss the latest in tech. My name is Charlotte Holman and I'm the founder of WeTel. In this episode we meet Daniel Forslund, who is the CTO of ILT Education. We talk about his journey from being a co-founder at the startup Ugloo and how they were bought by their competitor ILT Education. They then wanted to hire him as a CTO and manage 15 developers. He shares some learnings from that journey. So today with us we have Daniel Forslund, who is CTO of ILT Education. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Cool. So for us that don't know much about your background, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Yes. Well, first of all, father of three, I'll start there. Dog, corgi, and so on. Programmer. To begin with, basically, programming for quite some time, I think, and been doing a little bit of this and that, I think.
What are your main languages?
Right, I'm a JVM person to begin with, so Java, Kotlin, Scala, stuff like that. But that's where I feel at home, I guess. But now more lately, Node.js, stuff like that.
Right, and you have a long career. You've been a developer at Ericsson, also Digital Route. You were a co-founder at Ugloo, which you were sitting next to us at WeTel, actually.
Yeah.
I remember, but you were bought by the company that you now work for.
Yes, exactly. So we were competitors for quite some time, actually. Mm-hmm. On Ugloo. And then in the end, they bought us, and now, well, what we're doing now is developing a single platform, basically a single offering, rather than competing, to make the best products, basically, for our customers. So it's a really exciting journey that we're on.
And can you tell us first a bit about Ugloo? I remember you as a cool startup that was sitting here at Norrsken. How did you find your co-founders there?
How
did they find you?
Yeah, we had known each other since earlier, other projects earlier and so on. And then there was this idea from before that we decided to act on.
Tell us what the idea was.
Yes, so what we started out at least was children's books, basically offering them as a digital service, as an app, typically, and doing that to preschools. So that's where we started out, like B2B, preschools, municipalities and so on were our customers. We started out in southern part of Stockholm, I think, and northern part of Sweden as well, a bit spread out, the initial customers. And it grew from there, basically, to schools and climbing up the ages, basically, up to 12 to 15 year olds. Really exciting. Mm. Obviously, the product kind of changed with that as well.
Yeah. And how did you guys find each other there? It's always tough to find co-founders.
Mm-hmm. We found each other through various connections earlier on in a similar project like this. We knew each other from before, and then two of us, really wanted to go with it, to try it out for real. Quit the jobs and really try it out and so on. So me and Alex, we started out kind of part-time on the side on the technical stuff, since we realized that sales would be the heaviest to begin with. We kind of ran from there. I think after 1 year, Alex started full-time-ish, and then I joined in a bit later.
Mm. And you were a regular developer back then, or not CTO there?
No, and at that point I worked at Fortum. So Fortum have a platform for charging electrical vehicles, basically. So back then it was called Charge and Drive. So I was working on one part of that platform at the time. basically it was a really for a cool cause, I think, charging electrical vehicles in a fairly global scale, and building the platform for that. Really fun. But then obviously the opportunity to jump on Oglo kind of presented itself. So I thought it was difficult to decline and not to jump on the Oglo train.
Mm. And what was Oglo built in? I'm stuck on Oglo now.
Yeah. So the tech stack, basically. Mm. It was JVM, mostly Java to begin with. We used a framework called Play framework. But then we kind of moved from Play and that type of microservices to more of a serverless based architecture running on AWS in Kotlin, which was really fun. So we had some cool things. We were doing some cool things with compiling Kotlin code to native stuff to be able to run it efficiently on these things called AWS Lambdas and so on. Yeah, lots of fun. A lot of headaches as well, to be honest. But yeah, lots of fun.
Wait, and then you were bought by ELT Education, which was a competitor. Can you tell us a bit about how they decided to make you CTO there?
Unsure what they were thinking, to be honest. But the thing is, I guess, when to begin with, we had, in my eyes, they were competitors, right? But then we met with them. I met with them a couple of times. We talked about what their thoughts for the future were and so on. And obviously, I mean, still the space of ed tech and the things we're doing at Oogla and that ILT are doing, what we're doing at ILT is fantastic, I think. The possibilities that we have, the impact we can make worldwide and so on. And given where ILT were in, it was difficult to just kind of skip it completely. So we were chatting around a bit. What I wanted to do, where they were heading, and found some kind of a mutual idea of what we could do together, basically.
So you soften up with your enemies.
Yes, obviously. and found, in return, I found a really cool team, basically, of tech people and non-tech people. It's a really cool company, I think. Not your average startup. Not a startup at all, in that sense. A real cool place, I think.
And this company is founded in the 90s.
Yeah.
Right. So, old dinosaur company, as you said earlier. And it must be a huge difference from going from startup to a very more mature company. What are the main differences and challenges?
Yeah, so I guess as a startup, we were at Oogla, at least, I can speak for what we were doing there. We were a fairly small team of people trying to do a lot of stuff. I guess you typically do at startups, right? You try to fix the world, kind of. you can't throw people at problems, right? It's difficult because you don't have people. That's one of the things you don't have. But the upside of that is you get to be creative and in doing things, because you have to be creative, right? As an example, if we wanted to add 1,000 books to our library, it would take some time for us to do that manually. So we had things to do that automatically for us, as an example. And other cool things as well that we were looking into that would have been way too tedious and complex to do manually, would never be possible, but solve it with tech instead. I think that's one of the good things with, in the startup, you've forced to kind of focus in that way. Whilst at the bigger company, it might be easy to throw money and people at the problem and solve it that way. Mm-hmm. Works as well. But for me, as a tech person, I mean, the other approach is typically a bit more interesting.
Mm-hmm. You have to find a creative solution for things.
But obviously, I think both ways have their place. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's always a, you should need a combination of things, right?
Mm-hmm. You say you were kind of competitors, or you are kind of competitor, but Oogla's gone now, so
yeah.
You are not anymore, basically. But what exactly do ILT do? What do you do what do you build on a day-to-day?
Yeah, we started out narrating school material, right?
Mm-hmm.
And distributing that as CDs, stuff like that. That's what we did many years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of changed, obviously, over time. So we're now offering like more digital products instead, these things as apps, obviously, stuff like that. And Paul Uglo, that was a kind of a digital library with audio and other things as well for schools. But we at ILT, we have our own version of that as well called Polulino, that we're now working with. So that's one of our main tracks, Polulino, and not only Sweden, but that's one of the parts we're going global with as well in Sweden and about 10 other countries right now. The list is growing. So that's the main track, and then we have other things around exploring possibilities around video. We have a stuff called Manabua, which is really cool around that as well. Different type of content that students like.
Can you bring some of your experiences from Uglo then to ILT and ideas?
Definitely, I think. I mean, a lot of the way of thinking in a startup is something we're trying to bring with us, right, in also at ILT. But then there are other practical things that you can do with a startup, but it doesn't really suffice in a larger team. And in the larger team, you need to, well, one person can't keep track of everything, right? We have teams, and teams need to be, they need to learn their own things for many reasons, but not have one person trying to coordinate everything. So that's, I guess, that's one of the bigger things when you're growing.
And you are 15 people in the tech team.
Yes, about that. And then some product people as well and so on.
Mm. Is like a division by the teams? Do they do different things?
Previously, it's been a mix in history, I think. But what we're doing now is we have four teams we're still in the process, kind of a fairly newly formed team. So we're still kind of in the process of finding the boundaries before the responsibilities and so on. So we're trying to see that as a something that will evolve, and we'll find the details over time. But they have some specific main areas, and then there are other things that will be added kind of to this over time. But we're going from focusing on products as silos to focusing on building a platform on top of which we are offering the products themselves. So we're trying to reuse as much as possible, right, in a platform that can be used for all of the products.
Mm.
And build one thing. We're all building the platform instead of this team is building this thing and this team is building this completely different thing.
Mm.
So.
Cool. And what are your technical challenges?
Yeah, right.
And it must be for you also coming in as a new person.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things. Because we still have for quite some time, a fairly very developed, I'd say, microservice architecture written in PHP. And so on. I was skeptical in advance, but it was actually way cooler than I saw it with my own eyes.
The PHP was cool.
the way they built it was actually very, very impressive, I think, from my very judgmental view in advance. But definitely, yes. But there are other things with that. I mean, we're still a fairly small team. It's running on Kubernetes, things, and just running a Kubernetes cluster and so on, is, even if it's Amazon takes care of a lot of it, it's still a lot of work to be done. And also general with microservices, I think, when you run them yourself. And that's one of the things that we started looking at, where I had a very clear idea coming from Uglo, how we've done things at Uglo, and thoughts on what we should be looking at least in the team. And so we had discussions initially on a serverless architecture, basically, instead of the microservice-based, where we were running everything ourselves. So typically, like, building microservices, but as serverless applications.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we write our code, our domains, our logic, and then we let Amazon run it. So that we don't have to bother with keeping things up and running. We don't get the phone calls, anyone saying that, oh, this is not up, and so on. Why? Because Amazon takes care of it. So that's one of the key things, one of the main things that we are working with right now, and has been a thing, to transition to find what would we like this architecture to be? What's the purpose? I mean, why would we do it, right? What do we want out of it? And then now we're in the middle of actually getting there,
mm.
which is really cool.
So when they hired you as a CTO, I suppose there was some other CTO previously that quit? Or
They hadn't had a CTO for some time. Well, we had our CPO had kind of that role as well.
Mm.
But I think realizing it was a lot of work product-wise as well and so on.
Mm.
I think they kind of thought at least that hopefully I would be a good fit for us to work together basically with product and technology.
So I think you're the first person that we had in our 7 weeks of seven CTOs that actually were hired in to manage a team that already exists, which is quite a big team still, it's 15 people. So there must be some interesting challenges there, and you're so new, so I don't want to put you at the spot what the challenges are, but can you tell us maybe some like experience that you had, because it's very interesting challenge. I know that some people succeed and some people don't succeed in getting in a team with you, and maybe you come in with new ideas and you have to get people on board, and maybe they work there for 10 years. Do you have any like experiences you want to share with us, maybe that you learned these 7 months you've been there?
Obviously, we had before actually starting and so on, we had I had an idea at least of what people, what other cities said that the tech team were interested in looking at. That's an example. I mean, personally, I mean, moving away from PHP was a thing for me that I was quite eager to actually do and not just talk about, but that's it would be something that I would want to drive,
mm-hmm.
Which is a big thing, right? A whole team kind of switching a language,
mm-hmm.
And from PHP to a typed language because we're running TypeScript as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe an even big one.
And did everyone has anybody worked with TypeScript before? Is this the first time?
That was a mix in the team, mm-hmm. as an example. I mean, we're running JavaScript on the front end, JavaScript, TypeScript, fairly
mm-hmm.
similar. But there is different things from TypeScript. But so, getting to the point, being fairly humble with this and trying to not kind of saying this is how we're doing things. I tried to do initially at least was paint this together. Right, talk about it together. Some workshopping. Is this a thing? Could this be? I mean, could we be something for us? And drive it that way and try to really make sure that everyone feels engaged and a part of it.
Mm.
Was
that a criteria for you to start there, that if you want to make this change, for example, was that a criteria for you to start there as a CTO? How was the conversation?
I was very, personally, I had a really strong opinion, I really wanted to explore it. Not that we have to do this or have to do that, but we need to be able to have the discussion around it. A proper discussion, so that we're not just holding on to things and so on. That's what I wanted. And, well, people have been very open-minded, so to speak. I don't think I would have been able to be as open-minded, basically, as the team has actually been, who've been really working on this architecture for quite some time.
Mm.
Been very open about everything and really looking into things, and which has been a lot of fun. Now, I mean, that has been one of the reasons for why we are here a little over 6 months, and we have stuff served as things in TypeScript running in production today. Without the engagement of the team, that would never have been possible.
Mm. And do you have any tricks to get people on board with a big change?
I think it's just making sure that we have, I mean, not trying to run a show on your own. I don't know. I'm difficult to say if I've succeeded on that or not, but making sure that involving people in the discussion, at least that's what I've been trying to do at least, and so on, that we're talking about, because that's the only way the change is going to be permanent, right? If we want everyone engaged and on board with the things, we need to have it. Well, everyone needs to be enthusiastic about it, know why we're doing it, be a part of the discussion of why we're doing it, and so on. If we lack that, then I mean, we can try for some time, but in the end, if no one wants it, then you're doomed to fail, aren't you?
Mm.
I mean, I have tried a different track before. I mean, more of coming in with a really, really enthusiastic, we should be doing this, let's just do it, and just ran with it without really checking in on the team previously. And it doesn't work out. It takes you far, depending on your own energy, right, and how far you're willing to go on your own. But in the end, it's a team. So it's a team decision, I think.
And what are the benefits of changing?
First of all, language, PHP, TypeScript, I guess that comes to your who you are. And for us, I mean, as a team, as an organization, what do we want and so on? We were talking a lot about everything from recruitment to what we enjoy, what we like, what we think is fun, where JavaScript, Node.js business on has a lot to offer. But then there are technical things. I mean, again, the serverless stuff. I think there is an interesting balance that, an observation I've done in many places, this balance between being a feature factory and where you're just building technical things but forgetting the value that you're at least supposed to provide to customers, right? And where, you know, you end up in the place where from the product side, product owners and everyone are just, we need to build this feature, this feature, this feature, and then you end up with some kind of a mountain of technical debt. Or you have the other way where you're never producing features and stuff for customers because you're so stuck in code or technicalities that maybe not always have the impact for the customers that you want. So finding that balance is a really important part here, I think.
But rebuilding the whole platform in language, how do you combine that with also like delivering new features?
Yeah, and that goes back to that, right? We can't just stop the world, have a stop the world event for 6 months. And even trying to set the time, I mean, a deadline for it would never hold, right? Has a deadline ever worked out? So what we're doing instead is, I mean, that approach, trying the balance between technical stuff and delivering features. So what we do is we don't just convert everything that we have today to TypeScript and serverless. We run with things as they come up, typically in the as a part of the roadmap. So when things come up in the product roadmap, we look at, okay, what opportunities do we have here in taking things apart and rewriting them or something, I mean, incorporating them in something, in new serverless thingy, basically. That's the main strategy we have. And then we're obviously doing, I mean, specific efforts in places where we need to. But the general strategy to make it sustainable and to make sure that we're delivering stuff, but also taking care of the technical parts. The main track for that is to go with the kind of, do as much as possible along as part of the roadmap, basically. And talk about these things. There's a brilliant open-mindedness, I think, between both on product but also on the technical in the teams, that we have a mutual understanding of these things. I think that's really good.
Yeah, and when they hired you as a CTO, there's a very big role. Like, how many interviews did they have with you before they, before you both signed?
Not that many, I think. We had, I mean, it was everything from sitting down and chatting to a lunch, to emails and so on. So I think, from my perspective, I thought I had a fairly good view of the situation. And I'd made, I mean, been clear on what I wanted to do, what I thought was important, and so on. And I'm hoping that they feel the same.
And did you have to do any like technical test, or do you do that when it's a CTO role, or is it?
I guess that all depends, but no, not in this case, at least. But I'd also been very clear on my that I wanted to be in a not that I wanted the role to be hands-on as well. Right? I want to be a part of the teams in the way I can.
Because you're still coding.
Yeah, I try to write some code at least from time to time. And being involved in discussions with the teams and that the things we're discussing, I mean, on high level architectural things, what we're seeing for the future and so on, that we are, it's a discussion we're having together in the teams and so on. So yeah, I'm trying to really be involved in the day-to-day stuff.
How much would you say that you're coding?
Depends a lot from week to week and when I go to bed. At least, I mean, anything from 1 hour, no, at least 10 hours a week, I don't know.
During nighttime?
Anytime, but also, I mean, the programming is probably one of my, I mean, the one and only hobby I have. I mean, that sounds tragic, but there's, I mean, I love it. It's difficult not to be a part of it.
Mm.
But obviously, there's this, you can't just go in and meddle in things that teams are doing, so I'm just trying to look at things on my own.
Mm. Do you think that the fact that you're still coding can give you some sort of like connection with other developers?
I mean, I like to think that this, I have the technical ability to be part of the discussions and so on. And I think that's the important thing, that we have great discussions on the technical things and what we're doing, where we're heading, why we're heading there, and obviously having some kind of technical, I mean, knowledge about what we're doing. Why is serverless a good thing? Why is TypeScript a good thing? Helps when you're discussing these things and when you want to make a decision. I can argue for the standpoints.
Mm.
I'm open for ideas, but I can argue for what I'm thinking at least.
Mm.
I guess that, I think that helps.
Mm. And let's talk a bit about leadership. So what is a good leader to you?
Yeah. Also, I guess it depends very much on context, right? Where you are, so on. But just thinking where I am right now, where we are. And what I'm thinking, what I'm at least trying to be, I suppose, is being someone who can help motivating the team and take away general pain points that we have, and from a different angle maybe help out to make sure that everyone can feel a purpose, right, as a part of the team, feel their role, why they're important, because without the team, there is no product. There is no nothing really. And so, and make sure that everyone is feeling at home with it.
Mm. Do you also have one-on-ones with your team?
Yes, of course. Important part of that.
Mm.
Trying to, I mean, have these inefficient, you know, talking about the coffee machine and all that makes it difficult being remote though. Yeah, that's a very, very important source of, obviously, information, how everyone's doing, what am I missing, what is everyone else missing, what should we be doing, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you are hiring new people, what do you look in the new developers?
Right, there is something about the hard skills, right? Some kind of area what we're ideally looking for us, TypeScript, not necessarily service, but if you have experience with TypeScript and Node.js, that's perfect. But more importantly, maybe, most likely, the soft skills and so on, that you're a cultural fit, that you're a fit in the team, and that it works out. Because I think that tech is easy. It's easy, simple to build things, to program things out. That's just about time. People is way more difficult, I think. So making sure as best as we can, that we have a mutual, a good fit, very good fit, I guess that's
it. And how do you determine if someone is culture fit? Because that question is always so hard, some people say, would I take a beer with this person? But other people say, but it shouldn't be about who you want to take a beer with, because then you would never hire someone that diversity is on the map.
So I think a lot is about more of, we also have a business run, kind of. So what will we be doing most of that? We're kind of working together. It's perfectly, I mean, if we can hang out after work as well, and do whatever. But I think more importantly, that we have a mutual understanding of how we're doing things, how we are developing our things, our workflow, basically. And not that four people are, running the team in one way, and then there is this other person who is doing most of the things on their own, right? And that we have a mutual thing on how we're doing things, how that we are discussing things. that part, I mean, the teamwork, that we view teamwork in the same way. I think that that's, to me, it is an important part. Because from my perspective, we want teams, not just groups of people and so on. We want teams who are actually working together and things.
Mm.
And so for that, I think it becomes important that the team are the ones who are really, really comfortable with
mm-hmm.
who we are hiring and so on.
Mm-hmm. So to be a good collaborator, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
A lot of all these things, I guess there are a lot of, yeah, lots of different aspects, but to get a team working nicely, if there's friction in a team, no one will be happy, and it'll cause, I mean, the communications you have with other teams and so on, it will affect everything. So happy teams is, I think.
Great, so I have a last question for you. if I want to be CTO at a mid-sized company, what are your best advice?
Yeah, depends on what you do want to do, right? But I think if coming in the way I did, as a place, I mean, I think being humble and listening in is a major thing in many places, right? But I guess maybe that has to do with me and my personality. I'm not so much the authoritative person coming in, and I think at least pointing my hand. But I prefer that we have a mutual way, I mean, forward. I think that's usually tends to be more successful. The carrot way, kind of. That's a sustainable thing for long term things to work out and be successful long term, I think.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for coming. It was great to have you here, and good luck with your CTO.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. WeTel Talks is created by WeTel, a coding community with thousands of developers. In our app, you can find your next career opportunity or join tech conversations. See you next time.